Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
A new ceasefire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It's Thursday, August 14. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Weapons have gone mostly silent for Israel and Hamas. We'll take you to Gaza City for details on the latest truce. This one is scheduled for 5 days.
A fourth night of protests has turned violent in Ferguson, Missouri, where residents want answers about a fatal shooting by police.
If President Obama has designs on extensive airstrikes in northern Iraq, some lawmakers say he needs congressional approval.
And low-salt diets are under fire thanks to a new study about their effect on preventing heart disease.
Salt is a critical nutrient. As one person told me, it's almost as important as water. If we didn't have sodium in our bodies, we would not be alive. So, you know, there could be ways in which aggressively low levels could disrupt some of our normal physiology.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Winslow on the health risks of low-sodium diets. He's here in about 20 minutes. A fourth night of violence in Ferguson, Missouri, with people throwing bottles, Molotov cocktails, and other things at police during protests over last weekend's fatal shooting of an unarmed teenager. Police in the suburb of St. Louis responded with smoke bombs and tear gas, according to the Associated Press. Meanwhile, St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough says a deal has been worked out to interview a man named Dorian Johnson, who was with 18-year-old Michael Brown when he was killed.
We made some arrangements for him to come in. Some things got a little confused, I think, but I think that is all arranged, and I think he is being interviewed at this point.
Separately, in the aftermath of the shooting and the looting, the hacking group known as Anonymous has taken credit for taking down the city website for much of Monday. The group also released what it said were audio excerpts from St. Louis County Dispatch on the day Mr. Brown was killed. Police, though, yesterday declined to comment on the recordings. U.S. officials now say that a week of U.S. airstrikes and aid drops has allowed most of the Iraqi refugees trapped by Sunni terrorists in desolate northern mountains to escape, all but eliminating the need for a risky rescue operation. More now from the Wall Street Journal This Morning's Jennifer Kashenka.
A special U.S. assessment team that spent about 24 hours in the Sinjar Mountains determined that large numbers of the refugees from the Yazidi religious minority had been able to flee. The American evaluation sidelined a possible rescue plan that could have put American forces in direct confrontation with extremists from the so-called Islamic State. But it did not solve the underlying problem, the ongoing military offensive by Islamic State, which has taken key parts of the country. The U.S. is still trying to build an international coalition to ship tons of additional arms and ammunition so Kurdish fighters in northern Iraq can mount a counteroffensive. Gordon?
Thanks, Jennifer. It's 9 minutes now after the hour. Well, Israel and the terrorist group Hamas have renewed a ceasefire, this time for 5 days. Minutes before the last ceasefire was set to end yesterday, the lead Palestinian negotiator announced that Israel and Hamas, the Islamist movement which rules the Gaza Strip, had approved the new truce. This is the ninth ceasefire in a five-week-old clash between Israel and Hamas. We take you now to Gaza City and Wall Street Journal reporter Asa Fitch, who's on the T-Mobile hotline. Asa, what are you seeing today?
Well, I can tell you here, I'm in Gaza City, you know, I'm sort of staying near the beach. There are kids playing on the beach. There are fishermen have gone out this morning to cast their nets on the sea here. And people on the streets, I went out earlier, people on the streets seem to be sort of, you know, back doing their sort of regular routine. So it seems that the people of Gaza, at least, are fairly confident that this is a ceasefire that's going to hold.
So why 5 days this time?
I think, you know, the reason seems to be they just want to buy more time to hash through some of these very tricky issues for both sides, you know, for Israel with its security concerns and for the Palestinians with their demands to kind of free up the movement of people and goods across borders. So they just need more time, I think, to kind of work through some of these really kind of tricky issues.
Does that mean the door is open for a possible longer-term agreement, or is that too optimistic?
It's really hard to say. I mean, people who we talk to, there's a mix of kind of optimism and a lot of realism and pessimism, though, I have to say, from people on both sides. Is there a prospect of a longer-term deal? Of course. I mean, there's always a chance that they could work something out. But, you know, both sides, I think, are posturing a little bit and trying to play hardball. And, you know, when people do that, sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly how close they are to a deal because everybody's kind of saying we won't back down from our demands and trying to kind of get the most they can out of these negotiations.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Asa Fitch in Gaza City about the latest ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, one that is scheduled for 5 days this time. Any fighting in the past couple of days?
Yeah, well, there's been, right around the time of the ceasefire, when it was agreed last night, there was a bit of exchange of fire, but it seems to have been limited in nature. The Israelis say that Hamas or somebody in the Gaza Strip fired 8 rockets last night, some of them before the ceasefire expired, some of them after the new one took effect. And the Hamas has denied that they fired any rockets. You know, so there, it's a bit of both sides kind of blaming the other for restarting hostilities. The Israeli army said it did do some strikes in response to this rocket fire. But since then, sort of this morning, things seem to have quieted down. And the fact on the ground seems to be that both sides are abiding by the ceasefire.
Either side, Asa, at this point, offering any concessions?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell exactly. I mean, these are sort of closed-door meetings that are happening in Cairo. And it's tough to say whether, you know, what exactly is on the table. We've heard from people in Cairo, people in the Palestinian delegation, saying that, you know, the sides actually have agreed on some issues relating to the, as I was saying before, the lifting of the blockade of Gaza and some of the other demands that Palestinians have. You know, it's unclear, I have to say, exactly where the sides are in terms of how many things they've agreed on, how many things still left or need to be negotiated. But, you know, and some people say there's still a wide gulf between both sides, you know, that they've maybe made some progress on some smaller issues that aren't quite as important, but some of the bigger issues, like, you know, the Palestinians want to have a seaport, for example, where they could use to import things from other countries. They wouldn't have to go through Egypt or Israel. You know, that's a big demand of the Palestinians. It doesn't appear that that's been at all resolved in these talks yet.
Thanks, Asa. Wall Street Journal reporter Asa Fitch with us this morning from Gaza City.
I own a growing company, and predictable monthly expenses make it easier to run my business. That's why I switched to the T-Mobile Simple Choice for Business plan. We get unlimited data with no overage charges, all in America's fastest 4G LTE network. Now it doesn't matter how much data my team needs every month. My bill stays the same. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change. Fastest 4G LTE based on download speeds. See T-Mobile.com for details.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. It's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. And don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. This is the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to 2 dozen plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. ProFlowers is quick and easy, and you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Can't beat the price or convenience. Here's the only way to get her this amazing deal. 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Some Washington lawmakers are now saying President Obama needs congressional authorization for any extended military action in Iraq. More from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Jeff Bellinger.
Mr. Obama's announcement last week of limited airstrikes designed to slow the march by Islamic State initially triggered few complaints, but with his warning over the weekend that the strikes could last longer than a few weeks, some lawmakers feel further military action requires congressional approval. Among them, members of his own party, including Virginia Senator Tim Kaine and Congressman John Garamendi from California. Notably, none of the House or Senate leaders have joined the calls for congressional consent. Gordon?
Thanks, Jeff. A war vote, by the way, could be difficult for members of both parties. It would divide libertarian Republicans from the party's interventionist wing and split moderate Democrats from anti-war liberals. Lawmakers of all stripes would also be forced to own the consequences of authorizing any military action that ended up failing or take blame for doing nothing to guard against a militant group that many see as a serious threat. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here with America's First News.
Good morning. More unrest in Ferguson, Missouri after last weekend's fatal shooting of unarmed African-American teen Michael Brown by a police officer. Protests in the St. Louis suburb turned violent last night as people lobbed objects at police who responded with tear gas. St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough.
The U.S. attorney and the FBI will be conducting a parallel investigation into any potential violation of the federal civil rights law.
A renewed truce between Israel and Hamas appeared to be holding despite a shaky start after both sides agreed to give Egyptian brokered talks more time to try to end the Gaza war. An unbelievable amount of rain on New York's Long Island. More than 2 months' worth, around 13 inches, fell in 2 hours, causing flash flooding and swamping cars. Forecasters say the rain appeared to have set a record. The West African Ebola outbreak has health officials in other countries taking extraordinary precautions. In Charlotte, North Carolina, three healthy missionaries who had contact with Ebola patients are facing a temporary quarantine. One of them is David Wright Bowl, husband of Ebola patient Nancy Wright Bowl.
But I've spoken with Nancy earlier today and then last evening, and each time that I call her, she sounds better, she sounds stronger.
Cisco Systems, known for its networking hardware, says it will eliminate 6,000 jobs, about 8% of the workforce. This follows a quarter of scant sales growth at the company. Today brings an update on jobless claims. In the meantime, stock futures look a little negative this morning. Wall Street was higher yesterday. The Dow rose 91, entered positive territory for the year despite July retail sales being flat. Earnings have boosted sentiment. Are you tired of selfies? A New York YouTube prankster is and took to city streets posing as a security guard, threatening tourists and New Yorkers with tickets if they didn't delete their selfies. Jenna Kingsley even put up signs establishing so-called no-selfie zones.
Clever. I'm not sure that's legal, right? Posing as a security guard.
But she's also the one who posed as a bouncer at a Starbucks, asking people if they were on the list to go in to get their coffee. That is pretty funny, isn't it?
That's funny. Very good. A no selfie zone. That's good. Thank you, Gina. 22 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us. Here's something that may change your lunch or dinner plans beginning today. A major new study suggests that low salt diets could cause more harm than good. Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Winslow says this escalates a fierce debate over the benefits of sodium reduction in reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease. Ron, what are we learning?
Well, this is a long-standing controversy in the heart world where there's very aggressive targets to reduce sodium consumption to under 2,300 milligrams a day. Most of us eat, well, more than that. The average in the U.S. is about 3,400 milligrams a day. And there's a lot of studies that suggest that lowering salt consumption or sodium consumption will help reduce high blood pressure and therefore also risks of death and heart attack and stroke, for instance. But there's been a lot of disagreement recently in particular about how low to go with these dietary sodium. And this new report suggests that actually hitting those targets could actually increase your risk of heart cardiovascular disease rather than reduce it, and that more moderate targets would be perhaps more appropriate.
Wow. How could it increase the risk?
Well, that's not entirely certain, but, you know, salt is a critical nutrient. As one person told me, it's almost as important as water. If we didn't have sodium in our bodies, we would not be alive. And there really isn't a lot of good evidence on how much sodium the body needs. It's not well understood in that level. So, you know, there could be ways in which aggressively low levels could disrupt some of our normal physiology. The big question is how should these kinds of studies and this kind of information influence policies on how much sodium should be included in processed food.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Winslow about could a low-salt diet actually be harmful. There are some studies that say now, yes, it's possible. That said, I am still not taking Hunan Wok off speed dial on my cell phone.
All right, sounds good. You know, I mean, just maybe once a week.
That's right, right. But it does get back to that, though, sometimes, right? Everything in moderation, right? You can't eat that every day, right? You can't eat fast food every day.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, that is one of the messages here. The people have been trying to get us as a society to lower our salt consumption significantly for 50 years or so, and it hasn't really worked. I mean, it hasn't made much of a dent. The Heart Association, which strongly opposes the notion that there's harm here, believes that we should keep our eyes very firmly on these low targets. The other part of this study is that, you know, that the relationship between sodium and blood pressure is also affected by our potassium intake. And potassium is another mineral that comes in fruits and vegetables in particular. And the higher the potassium, the more the effects of high sodium are offset. So it's healthier to have higher potassium, and that helps mitigate the effects of high sodium.
All right, get that lunch special, chicken chow mein with a side of wonton soup. Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Winslow. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning. As you probably know, there are two barriers that stand in the way of growing your wealth. The first barrier is that it's hard to keep track of your money. Stocks, 401k, bank accounts, all on different sites with different usernames and passwords. Second, you pay someone to manage it all, and you're probably paying too much. Well, now there is a free and secure tool called Personal Capital. Personal Capital brings all your accounts and assets onto one single screen on your computer, phone, or tablet with a real-time and trending look at your wealth. With Personal Capital, you can also see how much you're overpaying in fees and how to reduce those fees. You'll also get tailored advice on optimizing your investments. Signing up takes just a minute, and it'll pay big dividends. Wall Street Journal radio listeners can set up your free account today at personalcapital.com/WSJ. Go to personalcapital.com/WSJ for your free account.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal This Morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Hey, thanks for being with us on this Thursday, August 14. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, more violence in Ferguson, Missouri last night. A five-day ceasefire this time between Israel and Hamas. And on a lighter note, the app that pro football players turn to for love. That report in about 20 minutes. Supporters of the controversial health insurance law say they're rushing to make sure tens of thousands of people provide more documents to prove they are in the U.S. legally and therefore entitled to the coverage they obtained through healthcare.gov. Immigrant advocates say they felt the Obama administration moved hastily in announcing Tuesday it would cut off health insurance for up to 310,000 people who signed up for plans through online exchanges run by the federal government if they don't send additional information. To Washington now and Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnovsky. Louise, what's going on here?
Backers of the health law, many of whom worked extensively with immigrant communities to try to get them to sign up, are scrambling to get the word out to people that they have until September 5th to comply with this notice. But they warn that there are a number of obstacles that could make this difficult to do and that some people could lose their coverage incorrectly.
And what are some of the obstacles?
A really big one is that the Department of Health and Human Services has struggled to process the documents that have been sent into it so far. There was a big backlog. Many people did send in documents, the enrollment workers say, and so don't understand why they might have to do so again. There's another issue, the notices that are going out warning people that they have one last chance to send in their documents because the federal government doesn't have anything on file are going out in English and Spanish. They're four pages. They're relatively complex. They're not going out in other languages, which immigrant advocates say is important. There's a small sentence at the end in various languages, such as Arabic and Chinese, that tell people that they have a right to an interpreter, but those short one or two sentence descriptions don't tell people that the notice is particularly urgent.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky. Do we know how many legal residents this affects?
There were up to 1 million people who initially submitted information about themselves when signing up for health coverage, and the federal government couldn't figure out for sure whether they were legally in the United States. That number has now been whittled down to around 310,000 people for whom it's not possible to determine right now whether they have an appropriate immigration or citizenship status and are eligible for coverage through healthcare.gov. And this is really important because there's a provision in the health law that requires the federal government to essentially guarantee that only people who are legally in the United States, whether it's because they're naturalized citizens, they were born here, or they're legally resident, get coverage. They're not just barred from getting tax credits if they're unauthorized immigrants. They're not allowed to use the site at all to obtain their coverage, which is why the federal government is taking these steps to potentially cut people off.
So how do advocates feel this should be handled?
Well, advocates say that they're concerned and they think that the federal government may be moving too quickly and that it's a little unfair. They point out that many of these problems are, in fact, at the federal government's own making. The healthcare.gov system that many people know had problems at the outset for a lot of people trying to enroll, had particular problems for people who weren't born in the U.S. that persisted through March. And at one point, that lasted for quite a long time, the system wouldn't let people add numbers for certain federal documents that were needed to verify that they were legally in the United States. So it's those people trying to send in the documents, apparently, and then the problems continued. The advocates certainly say that they are concerned by this move, but that said, what they're focusing on now is trying to get the word out in their communities.
Thanks, Louise. Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky. It is 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Reminder, get the brand new WSJ radio app in Apple's App Store for iPhone and iPad, and now, yes, for Android devices, too, in Google Play. Glad you're with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by Experian. When it comes to getting the things you want in life, your credit score can make the difference. But when it comes to understanding your credit, not all websites are equal. With Experian Credit Tracker, you get a real credit report and real people standing by to answer your questions, including a dedicated fraud resolution agent if you fall victim to ID theft. Go to Experian.com now for your credit report and score. And live credit confident from now on with enrollment in Experian Credit Tracker. The Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Well, racial tensions boiled over again last night in Ferguson, Missouri. Molotov cocktails and other objects were reportedly thrown at police, who responded with smoke bombs and tear gas to disperse the crowd. U.S. officials now say that a week of airstrikes and aid drops had allowed most of the Iraqi refugees trapped by Sunni extremists in desolate mountains to escape, all but eliminating the need for risky rescue operation. The Wall Street Journal reports today about how hospitals here in the U.S. are taking extraordinary measures to ensure that the deadly Ebola outbreak doesn't make its way to the States. Gina will have more on all of today's top stories in America's First News coming up. And Gordon, probably because you and I are right-handed and have a natural bias against lefties, we missed that yesterday was National Left-Handers Day. And this prompted ESPN and others to put out a call on Twitter for people to submit their favorite lefty athletes. Some were obvious, like baseball pitching greats Sandy Koufax, Randy Johnson, and the Dodgers' otherworldly Clayton Kershaw. Others were not so obvious, like some basketball players Chris Bosh, James Harden, Manu Ginobili, and soccer stars like Lionel Messi. and U.S. women's national team forward Alex Morgan. Then there were the absurd, which are the ones that I really like, such as Rocky Balboa. Remember, he was a southpaw. White Goodman, Ben Stiller's character from the movie Dodgeball.
Oh, geez.
And even Brick Tamlin, Steve Carell's dim-witted weatherman character from the movie Anchorman. Now, do you know how they figure this out? There's a scene in Anchorman where all the different news guys from all the different news channels are all fighting each other. If you remember that scene or not.
Oh, yeah.
But they get into a big brawl,
right.
And it's kind of like a Roman Colosseum-style brawl breaks out, and all these weapons come out.
Yes.
So there's, at one moment, Steve Carell's character picks up a trident or a spear or something with his left hand.
Really?
And throws it with his left hands. That's how they know he's a left-handed athlete and can be included on this list.
The research that went into this is astonishing.
Indeed. I love those, though. I love those you know, when people get creative with those Twitter hashtags.
Right.
Phenomenal.
And White Goodman.
Yes. The Ben Stiller character from the movie, that was actually just on the other day. That's another great movie. If you liked Anchorman, you would love that movie. But if you haven't seen it yet, you definitely should check it out.
Rocky Balboa, White Goodman, and Brick Tamlin.
Brick Tamlin.
Very good. Good stuff.
The man can throw a trident.
Lefty.
Yes.
16 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Buick. Experience Buick certified service only at your Buick dealer. If you don't know worry-free service, you don't know Buick certified service. Visit BuickCertifiedService.com for the latest service offers and everyday value pricing. Here's something to watch for on your next business trip or vacation. From stopping sticky-fingered baggage screeners to spotting thieves lurking by the baggage carousel, the Transportation Security Administration is fighting the ongoing problem of baggage theft. Details from Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney in Dallas. Scott, what are you seeing?
This is a persistent problem that in some ways the thieves have gotten smarter and better. The airports, airlines, TSA, local police are trying to do all they can to crack down on it. And with some creative things, not just high-definition surveillance cameras, which is helping a lot, but things like TSA putting valuables in bait bags, kind of like the local police, you know, put a car out waiting for somebody to steal it so they can catch a car thief. In this case, they put watches, jewelry, iPads, Mont Blanc pens, things of value that can be easily stolen in bags and run them through screening and wait and see if any of the TSA agents have sticky fingers.
Oh, wow. So they're after their own here, essentially?
Yeah, well, this has been a real problem for TSA, and it's been a huge embarrassment. Since TSA was created about 13 years ago, TSA has fired 507 screeners for stealing things.
Wow.
That's a big number. It's over more than a decade, but it's still a big number. And so 2 years ago, John Pistol, the administrator of TSA, really started a heavy crackdown on this, including with the bait bag thing. You know, they had a 10-year veteran who had received commendations take a Mont Blanc pen out of a bag and get fired and turned over to the police for that. And interestingly enough, some clever crooks have gotten into the act of blaming TSA, and so they found rings of thieves who are stealing things and putting counterfeit TSA notices that the TSA inspected the bag. into the bag.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney about the latest in the war on luggage theft. All right, so you mentioned these bait bags that TSA is doing. Who else is doing something?
I think a lot of airports, with encouragement from airlines, are really stepping up installation of high-definition cameras in baggage claim areas. There have been a lot of really sort of embarrassing cases of people who caught multiple times just stealing bags off carousels. And there was a guy in Denver who got arrested. He had stolen some bags of some fairly famous people, and that gets embarrassing.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. American officials say several days of U.S. airstrikes and aid drops have allowed most Iraqi refugees trapped on a mountain to escape. The Pentagon says that means it's highly unlikely the U.S. military will carry out an evacuation. The underlying problem remains, though, a military offensive by Islamic State forces that have seized key areas of Iraq. The Agriculture Department is out with new procedures for detecting contaminated ground beef at our stores. Officials say the moves will allow it to trace bad beef back to its source faster, remove it from sale, and track down root causes of contamination. Stock futures have turned positive this morning after a higher close for Wall Street. Yesterday, the Dow was up 91. Despite lackluster retail sales data, Vincent Malanga at LaSalle Economics says those sales reflect ongoing issues with employment.
While employment has been growing, wage growth is still very sluggish, and consumers are having a tough time meeting higher costs of necessities.
The S&P was up 13 points yesterday, and the NASDAQ rose 45. Upbeat corporate reports have been helping to keep stocks aloft. The Pope Mobile is a Kia Soul, while Pope Francis is in Seoul, South Korea. Scenes of the pontiff using the compact car since his arrival are giving Kia some needed publicity. Last year, during his trip to Brazil, the Pope was driven around in a Fiat. Data suggests that women are better than men at raising money online using crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter. Women account for less than 8% of CEOs at venture-backed firms, but a study from researchers at Penn and NYU shows that about two-thirds of women-led tech ventures reach their fundraising goals versus 30% of those led by men. Two golf club owners are teeing off together. Private club owner Club Corp is buying the smaller rival Sequoia Golf for $265 million, expanding Club Corp's portfolio of golf and country clubs by about 45%. And while Gordon probably won't be watching the Ryder Cup, now that an ailing Tiger Woods has ruled himself out of contention for a wild card spot on the team, Woods says he's been told by doctors not to play or practice until his back problems get better.
All right. Well, if he can't play, maybe he'll go and support the team. How about that?
Should we watch for that, Gordon? What's your prediction on that happening?
As they say, you know, if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter. So maybe that would be Tiger Woods' role here.
All right. We'll keep an eye out for him in Scotland.
6 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. You know, it can be hard for NFL players to find Mrs. Right. Their workplace is nearly all male. Their hours can go from before sun up to after sundown. Many players fear the women that they do meet will regard them as winning lottery tickets or dumb jocks. So a few New York Jets are quietly using the dating app Tinder and giving no indication that they play football on their profiles. Tinder's a free smartphone app that's useful for travelers who want to meet locals. What if the Jets could actually use Tinder to find a quarterback? On Brino Giacomini's profile, there are no pictures of him in an NFL jersey. The four pics show the 28-year-old, 318-pound lineman smiling and wearing a short-sleeve shirt or tank top. He initially tells women, by the way, he's a construction worker. But the facade cracks, he says, after he meets his dates in person. Eventually, he has to break the news that he works on Sundays. Cornerback Kyle Wilson of the Jets said he joined Tinder because football groupies don't appeal to him. He says, you don't want anything too easy. That's nice. Very nice, Kyle. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
If you don't have a will, the court may dictate what happens to your property and minor children.
Don't let that happen. It's National Make-A-Will Month, so call or visit LegalZoom today for special pricing on wills and living trusts. LegalZoom has been helping people protect their families for over 13 years. They make it painless to get the legal help you need. Don't forget to enter WSJ in the referral box at checkout to save more. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Protect your family and future today at LegalZoom.com.